And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me, us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Welcome back and Happy New Year. You're listening to La Rage du Peuple, 12 hours of special programming on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, www.ckut.ca on the World Wide Web. That was a track. That was Malcolm X's voice, of course, but it was put together into a track by John Acapata, a spoken word artist from Ottawa. We were hoping to be speaking live to Hazel Hill from the Grand River Six Nations, but there are historic events happening at Six Nations today on New Year's Day, and I think that accounts for why people there are really busy and preoccupied. So Mustafa has arranged to put on the phone another local activist, Moose?
Yeah, Cantalenta Horn, who writes for the Mohawk Nation News out of Ganawage, who actually just put out a piece right this moment on what's been happening there just this morning. Are you there, Cantalenta?
Yes, I am.
So maybe if you can just talk about what took place at Grand River Territory of Six Nations today, because it is quite a historical moment.
Well, yes, Six Nations continues to make history. As a matter of fact, they are the Indigenous newsmakers of 2006 for MNN, and I put out a tribute to the Six Nations because I think what they did was absolutely amazing for the whole year. And of course, it wasn't them alone. It was the help of a lot of people. We could never do anything without the help of all our friends and allies. Now, what happened was, I got the call the other day that they were going to do this. They were retaking the old Confederacy Council House. And so this is going to be done at 11 o'clock on Monday. So I said, well, is this going to be a shock or a surprise? And they said, no, we want everybody to know about it. We don't do anything on the sly like they do. So I put out a notice, told everybody to go there, and as it turned out, it was a beautiful sight. Over 2 miles of cars bearing Iroquois Confederacy and Unity flags. And then when everybody got there, the council house in Oswego, the padlocks were already off, and the Indian cops were gone. They were nowhere in sight. And then so right now there are speeches and there's a big celebration going on. So that's what happened today. So we've reinstituted the Confederacy chiefs back into the old council house.
Why was it padlocked to begin with, Cantinetta? Can you give that background to our listeners?
Well, the padlock was put on a long time ago, back in the 1920s. What happened was it was stolen by the Canadian government, and because Canada had made an order in council in secret, and it was signed by the Prime Minister Mackenzie King and the Governor General Lord Byng of Vimy, and it was illegal. So, but they went ahead, and at the time they had this horrible Superintendent of Indian Affairs, Duncan Campbell Scott. And by that time, he had already managed to overthrow all of the traditional governments over all the rest of Canada. And the Six Nations were the only ones left, and they were the toughest. So there was a lot of interfering by the Six Nations at the time, and the Six Nations decided to prove that the Indian Act was ultra-virus, meaning illegal, of the British North America Act, and that it didn't apply to the Indigenous people. So we couldn't present our case to the Supreme Court because of Duncan Campbell Scott. So we sent Descahe, Levi General, to go to Europe, to the League of Nations. He got 7 countries to support our application. And then Britain, which was still the big power at the time, put the pressure on all of these other nations to drop out. So then our case was never heard. So anyway, when the coast was clear, the council house had been closed for repairs. He brought in the illegal Indian Act. They had an election, and this was in October of 1924. So then they sent word to Europe that Descahe was no longer representing the Confederacy, that they now had an Indian Act Band Council. But anyway, so then in 1959, there was... So then, anyway, he died in Tuscarora, which is near Buffalo, and he could never come back to Canada, and he was buried over there. So then in 1959, there was another takeover. This time, the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration said, well, it's time for the people of Six Nations to choose which council they're going to follow. So, of course, they took him at his word. They said, okay, we're going to, the traditional people are going to take over, and we'll remove the band council. So, on March 5th, 1,300 people marched on the council house while the Indian Act Band Council was in session. And anyway, they locked the front door. The marchers removed it from its hinges. They took over, and they said, well, we went in the front door, and they ran out the back. But anyway, there were top people there, you know, from all over, Mad Bear Anderson, Clinton Rickard, Richard Maracle, Melvin Squire, Art Anderson. These are all, they're all gone now. But there are still some that were... there today, who were there in 1959, like Dick Hill. He was there when this, and he took part in that. He was young at the time. Anyway, they issued a proclamation nullifying the Indian Act. They declared Iroquois as a nation, and they reestablished the traditional government. They kicked out the RCMP. They put in their own police, and they announced an economic program and so on. So of course, the Prime Minister John Diefenbaker, what he did was he stopped all services, which is completely violates human rights. But that's what he did, and the people had no choice. They had to. The Indian Act Council was forced back in. So that's what happened. So today is an amazing day. It was just so thrilling for all of us because I was around in 1959 when that happened. And I know all these people that are dead now that took part in it. So it's a very, very amazing day, and it really means a lot. And I think it's a really shake-up for Canada.
Cantonetta, so the first day of 2007 is very historic, but 2006, and today we're reflecting a bit on 2006 as part of our special programming, was really important because basically from start to finish, this was 2006 was about the stand taken at Grand River at Six Nations, the land reclamation. So I'm wondering, and I know you through Mohawk Nation News have issued a tribute to Six Nations, declared them Indigenous Newsmakers of 2006. Can you talk about the significance of last year? Why last year will be seen as historic from February when the stand was made against Henko Industries and the Canadian government right up until the end of the year?
Well, there were a lot of things that happened when our people went on there on February 28th and took it over and kicked the development, the developers off. There were all kinds of military attacks launched against us, and we rebuffed all of them. And, you know, they just wanted us to stay quiet and invisible. And but we managed to get people to help us, you know, our brothers, sisters, Indigenous nations everywhere, friends, allies. We could never have done this without you. So anyway, so there's been a few things that happened, like Jim Prentice, the Minister of Indian Affairs, whom we call Jonestown, he was kicked out, and they haven't replaced him yet. At least I haven't heard. I don't know if you have. But there's no Minister of Indian Affairs right now. So we were afraid that this was going to be a cause for launching an attack on us and declaring martial law. But so we did something else to counter that. And anyway, so all these, so the colonists throughout all of this, they've been pretending that they have rights. And they've taken our possession. They think that they can just, with a stroke of a pen, take everything we've got. And they don't want to discuss the issues, which on a nation-to-nation basis, as equals, which is set out in their own laws. And so they're at a point now where they don't know what to do. And they are really scared of the truth. And the research from our own people that's been coming out to prove our position has backed them, not just against the wall, but outside over the cliff. So throughout this, we spoke of nonviolence, and this is where I pay tribute to them, because throughout, we have been nonviolent. We've had the power of guns and weapons pointed at us constantly, and we know that they don't mind attacking defenseless people. We've seen them do it. And we continued, we did defend ourselves, and they continued to, you know, demonize us in the press, and we still said, no, we're not going to use violence. How difficult it was for us to do that, you will not believe. It was the young guys, you know, were getting angry at how the older people were being treated. Anyway, I think the reason why I said that they are the newsmakers of 2006 is that they never wanted to be martyrs. The Six Nations only wanted to do what was right. And they got us all to unite behind them. And we want to be treated as equals. It doesn't mean we want to become Canadians. And now I think that the Six Nations have led the way for other Indigenous people. They showed us that you can be firm and you can be dignified in being firm. In other words, you know, it was the principles of our great law that we used, and we followed it because there is a path there for us. And we know we can't submit to foreign laws. and they don't have that jurisdiction over us. So what did the 2006 reveal to us? And I think a couple of things. We have these big sellouts. We've got to do something about them. We found out that we live poorly over there. I think people who have been there know that it's pretty poor over there. We don't need so many cars and shoes and clothes. If we wear what we have, just wear it with dignity. And we don't want anybody to be a master over us anymore. We have to be who we are according to what is in our own minds. And we object to having our peace disturbed. They don't know where we're getting all this courage to resist them. And I think even our neighbors in Caledonia, they they're embarrassed over how they've been treating us. And they're even helping us now to stop people from killing us over their anger because we want Canada to be law-abiding. We're saying, Canada, start living up to the laws. And I consider the people of Six Nations to be our heroes, especially those who stayed on the site, and especially all the people who went there and stayed with our people on the site. You know, it showed that we have the courage inside of ourselves, that we have to reach in there, and that we should use all of this in a constructive way. It takes more bravery, by the way, to not succumb to these racist provocations that were being hurled at us by the states and all the stuff that they sent after us, like the KKK, the skinheads, the rioters, and all these people. And they tried very hard to make us fight back, and they constantly threatened to kill us. They came to the site and they threw beer bottles at us and threatened our children and our women. After a while, you know what happened? All that became irrelevant to the point we were trying to make. You know, we are not going to get our freedom by violence and murder. We found that out. They showed us that. This, I think, would be very shameful for us. The Indigenous people are marching because we've been aroused. And not only have we aroused Indigenous people, we have aroused Canadians. Canadians and Americans, and people worldwide. And Six Nations did not despair. They proved it today by going and taking over the council house. A lot of us have been arrested, like Jaggi, except Jaggi stood up in court. We didn't do that. Many of our people would not stand up in court. And our message really is that we would like Canada to remove all their troops and put down their guns. And, you know, we're not going to let you walk all over us ever again. Never. And we want you to see that we have some wisdom. We have pride, we have wisdom, and you cannot continue pointing your guns at us and think that that's going to shut us up.
Cantonetta,
you're not using an eye for an eye because, as I don't know if it was Gandhi. I think he said that it makes everybody blind. So that's really the significance. That's really why, as I said at the very end, I said in the, let me see, here it is. Creation begins with the power of the women. As long as the sun shines, the grass grows, and the waters flow, it means that the birth of our people will continue. In the end, it is the power of the women and the men together that made it happen. As long as we are people, we will exist. We must remember our original instructions that come from the natural world. Our most precious commodity is our mind. We all have been given a path to be free through the use of our minds. Six Nations people, you used yours to analyze, to disagree, and to come to an understanding. That is what freedom is. That is what the Six Nations people stood up for in 2006.
Speaking about that resistance and standing up And speaking about those who've had to pay the price of prison and detention, recently something that has come of light that hasn't gotten much public attention is of one person's stance who currently sits in prison, Trevor Miller from Six Nations. Can you speak about what had happened and his arrest and the current situation that he is facing in prison?
Well, he's you know, he has been in there for months now on a bunch of other charges that or non-appearances. So now they've you know, it's like when you get a parking ticket and you don't pay it, and then they just compound it, and pretty soon you're in there for almost the rest of your life. You know how it is. Well, that's what they're doing to him. And we are trying to get him out, and we have to keep on persisting. But, you know, he is one that wouldn't back down. And, you know, he's a guy that holds his head up high. It's really important for him, and it's important for us, you know. And he says we have to obey the law of the land, our law, not the colonial laws that have been imposed on us to exploit us in our land. The Turtle Island belongs to us, and we're never going to grovel for what belongs to us. We have law. You know, sometimes we lose strength by having people like him in jail. These are some of the setbacks. Yes, we expect that. You know, the Six Nations people and Trevor Miller made these injustices visible. And I think through making it visible, they gained a victory for all of us by not being afraid. You know, they used friendship instead of fear. And I commend Six Nations' persistence. And it continues. And so we will continue to get him out.
Cantonetta, thank you for taking the time to join us on our special New Year's programming. And I'm sure we'll be talking again, discussing these issues. The struggle is long. And thank you again for sharing your insights.
Thank you. Nyawa. And Happy New Year.